Imagine like a tool that's used every single day by 90% of your industry.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But, and here's the crazy part, almost none of them actually trust it.
Right. Yeah, that is the absolute definition of a technological paradox, really.
It's wild. But in early 2026, that's exactly what's happened with software developers and artificial intelligence.
We've just reached this weird point where, widespread adoption definitely no longer means widespread confidence.
Yeah, and that bizarre tension is exactly why we're here today. We're doing a deep dive into this comprehensive 2026 guide that's just been completely dominating developer forums lately.
It really has been everywhere.
Right, and it's all focused on this idea of vibe coding versus agentic coding.
Two very big buzzwords right now.
Huge. So our mission today is to, well, decode those buzzwords. We want to figure out exactly how the landscape of building software has just fundamentally transformed.
Because it really has.
Yeah, and most importantly, we want to equip you, the listener, with the practical knowledge of when to use which approach. Because honestly, if you're trying to navigate this whole AI information overload thing without understanding this distinction, you're going to get completely left behind.
You really will. I mean, the boundary of what a developer actually does
Yeah.
on a random Tuesday afternoon has just moved entirely. It's
Right.
not just about, learning the syntax of a new language anymore. It's a fundamental shift in how humans even interact with machines to build products.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
We really need to start by defining our terms here because you literally cannot step foot in the modern coding landscape without knowing the difference between a vibe and an agent.
Exactly.
So let's look at vibe coding first. The source material defines this as a like a conversational prompt and review style of development.
Very back and forth.
Right. You describe what you want in plain English, the AI suggests the code, and then you review it just turn by turn. And the crucial part here is that the human stays completely in control, right? Like you accept every single change before it goes anywhere.
Think about the mechanics of a typical session here. You might ask the AI for a piece of interface, say, like a React component, that shows a paginated list of customer orders.
Basically, just a digital building block for a web page.
Exactly. So the model produces a file, but you, the human, notice that it's designed poorly.
Uh-oh.
Right? It's like refetching the database every single time the user clicks the button.
Oh, which would just slow the whole app down to a
It
crawl.
ruined performance, yeah.
Yeah.
So you reply to the AI and you just ask it to memoize that function.
Which just means telling the AI to remember the result of the calculation, right? So it doesn't freeze up doing the exact same math twice.
Spot on. So the AI rewrites it, but then you notice, wait, the error state is missing? Like, what happens if the internet drops?
Right, you need a message for that.
So you ask for that. And, four conversational exchanges later, you have a working piece of software.
And because you were there for that whole conversation, you actually understand it line by line. You
Yeah.
literally watched it get built in real time.
You did.
It's almost like accelerated pair programming with a really, really fast typist who also just happens to have every single framework's documentation perfectly memorized.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
But then, we flip the script to the counterpoint, which is agentic coding.
Right, the agents.
This is entirely goal-driven. So you aren't just giving an instruction for a single visual component anymore.
You're giving it more authority.
Exactly. You are handing an AI agent a much broader, more abstract goal, and you're giving it the authority to pursue that goal across multiple steps.
So, like telling it to add a security feature, maybe rate limiting to your API so people can't just spam your servers.
Perfect example. You hand over that goal, and the agent autonomously plans the task. It goes and reads the routing layers in your repository to see how traffic is currently handled.
Oh, wow. So it's actually looking around on its own.
Yes. It matches the existing patterns you've already written. It writes the new code, wires it up, writes a test to prove it works, runs that test suite.
And then what if the test fails?
Well, it realizes it forgot to install a required piece of software, installs it, and just retries all on its own.
That's
The
insane.
human is not in the loop on every single keystroke anymore.
Oh.
The human is on the loop, right? Just periodically reviewing outcomes and approving major checkpoints.
Okay, so expanding on my earlier analogy, if vibe coding is pair programming with a really fast typist, agentic coding is like giving a junior developer the actual keys to the building.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
They aren't just sitting at a desk typing. They're like walking over to the filing cabinet, reading the old files, realizing they need a new tool, driving to the hardware store to buy it, and then trying to fix the plumbing all on their own.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, The fundamental shift we're talking about here is the move from generation to execution.
Oh, I like that.
Right. An assistant answers a question, but an agent completes a task.
It's a huge difference.
Autonomy is no longer just a switch you flip, it's a dial you turn up. These agents are using tools, you know, touching the real world via file systems and command line terminals and test runners, just to execute these multi-step plans without waiting for your permission.
Okay, this brings us right back to the paradox I mentioned at the very start of the show.
Right, the trust issue.
Exactly, because if these autonomous agents are so incredibly capable, why would anyone still do the slower, turn-by-turn vibe coding?
It's a very fair question.
And here's where it gets really interesting. The data in our source material is honestly shocking. While usage of these AI tools is sitting near 90%, developer trust in AI output dropped from over 70% positive sentiment back in 2023 down to a dismal 29% in 2025.
It's a massive cliff.
Yeah.
And, you know, the most cited frustration in the data isn't that the AI produces entirely broken, unusable garbage.
Yeah.
No. The biggest failure mode, the thing driving developers absolutely crazy, is code that is almost right.
Wait. Okay, I'm getting stuck on this controlled trial mentioned in the guide because I really want to push back here for the listener.
Sure, go for it.
We hear constantly that these tools are making developers superhuman, right? Like the whole 10x engineer thing.
Oh, constantly.
But the source mentions a trial that showed experienced developers working on familiar code bases were actually slower when they used AI tools, even though they reported feeling faster.
Yeah, the feeling versus reality gap is huge.
How does that make any sense? Because if I'm a senior dev and I know the code base like the back of my hand, shouldn't AI just act like autocomplete on steroids? How does it actually slow me down?
Well, the perception of speed is highly unreliable, first of all. But the reality is that AI helps you the absolute least in the areas where your personal expertise is highest.
Okay, wait, explain that.
When you are a senior developer on a familiar project, you already know the architecture. You know the weird historical quirks of the database, the bizarre edge cases.
All the stuff that isn't written down anywhere.
Exactly. When an AI generates a block of code, it doesn't know any of those invisible constraints. So it gives you something that looks highly plausible.
It looks professional.
It looks very professional.
Yeah.
But because it's only almost right, you have to spend significant mental energy untangling its logic just to find that one subtle flaw.
Oh, I see. Okay, so imagine an AI writes this beautiful payment processing function. A junior dev sees that it technically processes a payment and just moves on.
Right.
But a senior dev looks at it and realizes, wait, this doesn't account for our legacy database's weird time zone bug from 2018.
Exactly. And finding that one missing line, it takes the senior dev 3 hours of just staring at the screen.
Time they could have used to just write it themselves in, like 20 minutes.
It's the exact trap.
Yeah.
It's vastly more expensive, mentally and temporally, to catch a plausible but subtle logic error than it is to just write the correct code from scratch.
That makes total sense.
An independent analysis of AI-authored pull requests, you know, the bundles of code submitted for review, repeatedly finds materially higher rates of logic errors and security vulnerabilities compared to code written by humans.
And that completely flips the day-to-day reality of the job. I mean, the source material notes that developers in 2026 are now spending more hours per week reviewing AI-generated code than they actually spend writing new code themselves.
The bottleneck has completely shifted. Generation capacity, just spitting out lines of code, is practically infinite now. But review capacity, human attention, and actual understanding is strictly limited.
Okay, so since human review capacity is the new bottleneck, the obvious question becomes, how do we actually filter these tools into our daily workflow so we don't just, you know, drown in slightly broken code?
Right.
Because if you're listening to this, you're probably wondering how to navigate this without shooting your career in the foot. And the golden rule laid out in the guide is that the debate between vibe coding and agentic coding isn't a fork in the road where you just pick one or the other. It is a sequence.
This is perhaps the most important takeaway for anyone trying to build software today. Autonomy is only valuable if you possess the skills to tell whether the autonomous thing actually did the right thing.
So if you are a student or like a career switcher listening to this right now, where exactly do you start? My instinct says you can't proofread a book in a language you don't speak, right?
That analogy holds up perfectly. If you're a student or a beginner, you must start heavily with vibe coding, without exception.
Really? No agents at all?
No agents. You need to build mental models of how software functions. By watching code appear line by line in a conversational interface and really forcing yourself to ask the AI why it made a specific architectural choice, you build that foundational understanding.
An understanding that an autonomous agent would just completely deny you because it does it all behind the scenes.
Exactly. You shouldn't move to agentic coding until you can look at a 200-line diff.
Which is like a snapshot showing what code was added and deleted, right?
Right. You need to look at that diff and confidently explain what is wrong with it.
Because the agent just does it in the background and hands you the finished product. If you don't know how to read the diff, you're just blindly trusting a machine that we already know gets things subtly wrong.
Precisely.
Okay, so students and beginners are on vibe coding. What about startups and founders?
Well, for startups building an initial prototype, it's a similar story at the very beginning. Vibe coding gives you unparalleled speed to validation.
Because you can just bounce ideas off an AI and have a working mock-up in like an afternoon?
Exactly. But once you have paying users and unattended changes become genuinely expensive or risky, you start layering in agents alongside proper version control and staging environments.
And then at the far end of the spectrum, you have the enterprise developers, you know, the massive corporations.
Right. Enterprise work involves strict compliance, audit trails, and just massive scale. This is where agentic coding really shines.
Or the boring stuff.
Exactly. Think about tedious mechanical work, like migrating 200 different files to a new date formatting library, or doing a massive system-wide software dependency upgrade.
Oh man, nobody wants to do that manually.
Right, and an agent doesn't get bored or lose focus on file number 90. But even here, you need governance. You need strict permission boundaries.
Speaking of governance, the guide highlights some really critical best practices, some hard don'ts that I think every listener just needs to internalize.
Let's hear them.
First, don't ever accept code you cannot explain. Because if you can't explain it today, you definitely can't fix it tomorrow when it breaks.
100%.
Second, don't hand an agent an untested repository.
Oh, this one is huge. The test suite, you know, the automated scripts that check if your code actually works, is the only honest feedback signal an agent will ever get.
Right.
If you have weak tests, your agent is going to be completely blind to its own mistakes, but unfortunately, it will still be very confident in its output.
Such a dangerous combination, blind and confident. And the third rule, never run agents on the main branch.
Never.
Always use a separate working branch. Always have a way to revert the changes. Basically, you treat the agent output exactly like you would a junior developer's work. It's welcome, it's useful, but it is never, ever merged into the live product unread.
The discipline is non-negotiable.
Hmm.
But, you know, the tech stack isn't static, and this is where it gets genuinely fascinating. The tooling landscape has evolved specifically to support this layered approach of human supervision.
Yeah, let's actually talk about that 2026 tech stack, because I want the listener to have a concrete idea of what tools we're actually talking about here. And more importantly, why this matters professionally. Like, what's the payoff for learning to manage these tools correctly?
Well, let's break down the landscape. For vibe coding, ChatGPT is still the general purpose entry point. It's especially good for explaining complex concepts or exploring a totally new approach.
Sure.
Then Claude is heavily favored for longer reasoning tasks and for holding the logic of multiple files in its memory at once.
Then you have the code base aware editors, right? Things like Cursor AI and Windsurf.
Yes.
These are fascinating to me because they actually index your local files on your machine. So when you prompt them, they answer with the full context of your actual project. It's not just a blank slate.
It changes everything.
And we definitely can't forget the prompt-to-app tools like Bolt.new or Lovable, where you basically just describe an application in a chat box, and it essentially spits out a running, deployed website URL.
Which is still wild to see.
Mm-hmm.
But then you cross over into the agentic side of the spectrum. You have terminal-native agents like Claude Code, which saw massive adoption arcs for doing command line operations.
Right.
You have Devon AI, which is marketed specifically as an autonomous software engineer. But below the product level, down where the real AI engineering actually happens, you have the orchestration frameworks.
Okay, right. Things like LangGraph, AutoGen, and Crew AI.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of just listing them, let's actually explain how these work.
Sure. Think of LangGraph as laying down train tracks for your AI. It models agent behavior as an explicit state graph, essentially a highly detailed flowchart. Because the AI is forced to move along these predefined tracks, you can inspect its thought process at every single station, making it highly testable.
That makes sense. And AutoGen.
AutoGen, on the other hand, is like putting a coder and a ruthless auditor in a locked room. It focuses on multi-agent conversations. You can literally program one AI to write the code and another AI to relentlessly try to hack it or break it. And they just argue back and forth until the code is secure.
That is wild. They basically just debate their way to better software.
They do. And then Crew AI uses a role and task metaphor. It's like hiring a virtual project manager, a researcher, and a developer, and having them hand off tasks to each other.
Oh, and plus, the guide mentions the Model Context Protocol, or MCP. I love this concept. Think of MCP as a universal adapter plug. It standardizes how all these different AI models connect to external tools like your database or your Slack channels, so they aren't just completely siloed.
Exactly. We're looking at a massive explosion of tools right now. But what's fascinating here is that the product-level distinction between them is already starting to blur.
How so?
Well, every Vibe coding assistant is growing in agent mode, allowing it to take autonomous action. And every autonomous agent is growing a conversational mode so you can talk to it. So knowing which brand name to use won't matter as much in the long run.
Ah, gotcha.
But the skill-level distinction is going to sharpen dramatically. Knowing when to delegate a task to an agent versus when to supervise it conversationally, that is a human judgment call. And judgment is not something you can ship in a software update.
Well said. And that judgment translates directly to career capital. Let's talk about the hard numbers, because the source material provides a really clear look at the compensation landscape, specifically looking at the Indian market, which is a massive global hub for this kind of work.
Right.
In centers like Hyderabad and Bengaluru, entry-level AI-adjacent roles are sitting at roughly 6 to 12 lakhs per annum, or LPA. Mid-level is 15 to 30 LPA, and senior roles are 30 LPA and upward.
Which is very significant.
Yeah. To give some global context for our listeners, reaching 30 LPA puts you in a highly lucrative, top-tier income bracket in that region.
But the critical data point there isn't just the baseline salary, though. It's the premium attached to specific skills.
Yes. The guide explicitly states that generative and agentic specialization carries a documented 20 to 40% premium over generalist equivalents. The market is literally putting a massive price tag on this new literacy.
Because the job itself is being fundamentally redefined. It is shifting away from the manual production of code to the specification, supervision, and validation of code generated by machines.
It's a totally different mindset.
It is not a smaller job. It is a much more senior job. It requires systems-level thinking, and it's arriving much earlier in people's careers.
So what does this new literacy actually look like for you, the listener? Because it's clearly not just knowing the syntax of Python or JavaScript anymore.
Not at all. If you are supervising agents that can read and act on external content, you suddenly have an entirely new attack surface for hackers.
Oh, yeah.
Prompt injection, where a malicious user hides secret instructions in data just to hijack your AI, is a very real threat. So familiarity with the OWASP top 10, which is basically the greatest hits of common hacker vulnerabilities, is now baseline literacy.
Wow. And the guide also emphasizes that enterprise procurement is deeply concerned with governance now. Like, you need to understand frameworks like the NIST AI risk management framework.
Absolutely.
Which is essentially the official playbook for how to use AI without accidentally letting it leak customer data or break compliance laws. Knowing about sandboxing, audit trails, permission boundaries, that vocabulary is what actually differentiates you in a job interview today.
Which is why the serious training programs, particularly the tech labs mentioned in those major hubs, aren't just having people watch lectures anymore.
Right.
They are enforcing a strict curriculum based on the sequence we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Fundamentals first, then conversational vibe coding to build intuition, and only then agent orchestration.
That makes total sense.
And honestly, a defensible portfolio, like shipping three well-documented deployed projects where you actually orchestrated these AI tools safely, that beats any paper certificate.
So what does this all mean? Let's distill this entire deep dive down for you. The source material paints a picture of a world where producing lines of code has literally become trivial. But actually owning that code, guaranteeing its safety, its logic, and its performance has become much, much harder.
Vibe coding is how you learn to specify clearly and actually understand what you are shipping. It's your safety net for ambiguous problems.
Right.
And agentic coding is how you apply that understanding at a massive automated scale for the tedious mechanical work.
You just have to learn to treat these AI agents like incredibly capable, tireless colleagues who unfortunately possess terrible judgment about real-world consequences.
That's the perfect way to summarize it.
Whether you're hacking together a weekend prototype or managing a massive enterprise database migration, your human judgment is the ultimate safety net. You can totally delegate the typing, but you cannot delegate the accountability.
You really can't. And this raises an important question, something we are already seeing the leading edge of in 2026.
Okay, what's that?
If the software engineering role is rapidly shifting from writing code to reviewing an absolute avalanche of AI-generated code, how long until the volume of that code is so massive that human review capacity simply breaks?
Oh, man. I mean, we're already seeing the review bottleneck right now. The avalanche is already here.
Right. So how long until we have to build AI agents specifically designed to review the work of our coding agents?
Mind-blowing.
And if we reach that point, an AI writing the code and an AI reviewing the code, where exactly does human intuition and human accountability fit into a fully automated loop?
It's the smartphone paradox all over again, isn't it?
It really is.
We might end up with tools we rely on for absolutely everything, while simultaneously wondering if we can actually trust a single line of code they produce. Definitely something to mull over the next time you blindly hit accept on an AI suggestion. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.